I would like to invite each of you to listen carefully to God's voice in your heart. Listen to His voice. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid.
Hello and welcome. I'm Father Chad Arnold, and you are listening to About 4 O'Clock, a podcast on vocations and discernment. If you've been listening for a while, you know who else is in here in the studio. We got Father Garrett Burns.
Hello, hello.
And Father Drew Hoffman.
Sup?
And that may sound like a pretty good podcast just with those three there, but wait, there's more. Our guest today lives across the alley from me, and it is Father Adam Grellinger. Welcome, Adam.
Well, thank you.
Now, we often name the studio in honor of the guest, so we're going to do that, but I don't know if you have any particular Adams that you have an affinity towards, because I've got a good one.
Oh.
But I don't know if you, is there a Saint Adam that you like or look to?
No, but my middle name, there's a saint, two saints with my middle name, and that is Ewald. So there are two Saint Ewalds.
I already think you're lying.
I don't
lying.
Think so.
There are two Saint Ewalds.
You're thinking of Ewoks, and that's something different.
They're cool, saintly yeah. in and of themselves. They're
all right,
very
what do you
holy.
Got? No, no, I want to hear about these Saint Ewalds first, because I really don't believe
know.
That.
I really don't know a lot, but they were
what do you mean you don't know a lot?
You know more brothers. Than us that they exist. That's
yes. Yeah.
They yes. were brothers?
Yeah.
Both named Ewald?
Yeah.
That so seems like a bad decision from mom and dad.
Are we talking last name Ewald?
Maybe.
Or
I don't think so. Well, they call him Saint
you don't
Ewald.
Have any information.
Well, right. I'm glad I did not go with them for naming the studio. They'd be offended.
Are there Saint Adams?
Well, there's a blessed, and I'm gonna preface this. I know as much about him as you know about Saint
This podcast,
Ewald.
We strive for excellence, and as you've heard for over the years, friends, and so I'm disappointed in what's happening.
No. When you hear this name, you'll understand it is excellent unto itself. It needs no further explanation of why I named it. Today we are working from the studio of Blessed Adam Adamai.
Wow. Adam Adamai.
12th century Franciscan, know nothing about him. But since I believe you are the first guest on the podcast who has been on twice and isn't a bishop. So you are our first, second time.
Oh, he was during the live pod.
During the live. So it's only fitting that we have a name that uses your name twice.
Wow.
Adam Adamai.
It's a good get.
It is almost like he existed for this moment. I don't know anything
don't
about
know
his
any
life,
other,
so it could
no,
be.
I know of no other reason that he exists. So.
God has big plans for us, yeah.
So you need to learn about Blessed Adam Adamai.
I'll work on it.
Are there other St. Adams? I don't know any.
So I Googled. I mean, that's obviously how I came up with Adam Adamai. And I didn't see.
Wow, that's weird. That seems weird to me. Right?
Everything pointed to the scriptural Adam.
The new Adam, I've heard of him.
The new Adam. Yeah, we should have been the Jesus studio. That would have been kind of cool.
I mean, Adam is a little bit of a tarnished name when...
I guess that's true.
And the first guy royally screwed it up.
Kind of blew it for everyone. What
that's
were your parents
weird,
thinking?
You're totally redeeming it. So,
yeah, you're doing great.
Wow, thank you. That's so nice.
Now you're the Ewalds. I don't know how they feel about how you're doing with that, but... They set a high bar, and Adam set a low bar.
Everything we know about them.
I don't know what your parents were thinking, going with Adam.
Adam. You know what that means in Hebrew?
Of the earth.
Dirt is dirt, what it means. Dirt. Come on. That's
there's a name in the house, Caleb. I forget exactly how it translates in Hebrew. It has something to do with dog, I want to say, but... They tell me that it means sky puppy. So occasionally they'll refer...
I don't think that's right. Yeah.
Occasionally they will refer to the other Calebs in the house as sky puppy.
Hebrew is known for its very ethereal, just...
Sky puppy would be an incredible renaming of the Wind Search.
Oh, I
the
would...
Wichita Sky Puppies.
And I would go to that game.
It would go with the Sky Kings. We could just be...
Sky Kings? Sky Puppies. That's our,
Sky Kings?
Our minor league basketball team.
We have a minor league basketball team?
Yeah, they bring in by the time this podcast comes out. I'll be blunt with you. But they'll bring in Kevin from The Office was there.
Seriously?
Borland. Al Borland from Home Improvement.
Home Improvement. Oh, wow. Marquise Noel, I think, was there at a game. They bring in semi-celebrities to attract people to the games at Coke on Sunday afternoons, I think Sunday afternoons, yeah.
I'd also like to point out, we're two decades past Home Improvement, and still all anyone knows him as Al Borland. I mean, has he done other things? Does it matter?
He didn't need to.
He kind of hit the high mark.
Tool Time is great. I guess Home Improvement is the show. got me messed up.
But on the Wind Search, I heard they sold There's a new owner of the Wind Surge who said they were open to new names. They were the possibility.
Sky Pups.
Sky Pups. So Sky if you're Pups, listening.
Caleb's.
The Caleb, yeah. Caleb's. I mean, you could call him Caleb.
Who was that Russian dog that went to space?
Loki.
Loki. No, that's not right.
Laika.
Is that it?
Yeah, Laika.
Okay. That could be like the mascot.
Yeah, Loki's Thor's enemy.
I don't know why we have a Soviet era dog as a mascot, but all right, we got to get back on track.
Yes, it's so welcome, Adam. Good thing you were here to help us navigate these things. So the position for our listeners, where you are in the timeline, you and Drew, same class, right? Ordination class.
Yep.
I think you're a year older than me.
Yeah.
What's your high school class?
08.
Yeah, I'm 09.
And you're a Capen alumni, correct?
Yep.
That's our second Capen alum.
Who's our first?
Tolbert.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. We gave him a hard time.
So it's like
that.
15 to a 2 now.
Coming on strong.
We need to start making hash marks on the wall for that. Guys, we're ordained 2017.
Uh-huh.
And in that time, where have you served since 2017?
I spent my first 2 years at Blessed Sacrament, and then I went to Newman from there. And I've been at Newman now for 4 years, and I've been with the House of Formation for the last 2 years. So I'm still at Newman, but I 2 years ago moved into the House of Formation, and I now serve as the director of field apostolates for the guys. So that's like the work they do when they, you know, they do work in the classroom, but we also want to get them some training, kind of those priestly skills, and maybe even kind of discernment of those things by sending them out into the community to learn some skills and do some things. So yeah, we send them to a Catholic care center. We send them to Catholic schools to learn real teaching and not just like totus tuus teaching, but what is classroom management?
How they're do you not actually the make a same lesson thing. Plan?
That's wild.
And other places, but.
The day that we're recording this, it's finals week. And so you have a particular unique job just for today.
Oh, I'm cooking. Is that what you're talking about?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And during finals week, the guys don't cook. Each of the priests take a day. Today Adam's day for it. His menu will make you proud, Drew.
Let me hear.
Well, I'm notorious for being probably the worst cook in the house. Actually, certainly the worst cook in the house.
Yeah. Man, after my own heart.
And all year long, so we have the evening masses like you do at WSU. So the mass is at 7, and I usually get back at like 8:30 or something. And my go-to snack is nachos.
Snack
or dinner.
Okay. Let's correct this. Not snack. This
meal.
This is dinner.
Oh,
right?
That's true. Talk to me about how you make it.
So we're doing a nacho bar tonight for the guys because it's the Father Adam special. But I'm going to have some nicer things. We'll have some beef and some jalapenos.
Oh,
and black
keep
beef.
It classy, so yeah. So.
This will be a real nacho bar. I think this is good.
We're doing it, yep.
I would say your typical quote-unquote nachos on Sunday night, I'm not sure anyone would identify those as nachos other than you.
That's probably true. I mean, it's just tortilla chips and some whatever cheese we have.
Yeah, that's how you make it.
That's not a nacho.
And when we don't have tortilla chips, which is about half the time, it's Cool Ranch Doritos, maybe the cheesy Doritos. It's whatever chips I find turn into nachos. But it's usually dark. We're watching football and nobody notices.
The guys have noticed. Even the collegians make fun of your version of nachos as not being real nachos. Dude.
Yeah, I can't count the number of times I found Drew at the end of the night. Just, pulling something out of the microwave. What's that? Oh, it's nachos. No, that's just shredded cheese on top of tortilla chips.
Microwave tortilla chips.
Nachos, yeah.
If you went to a restaurant and ordered nachos and they brought that out to you, I would never return to that restaurant personally.
I'm going
to
read you a little text message I received from Father Garrett Burns on February 18th, 2020.
Wow.
Life update. Over the last couple months, I've noticed a couple things in myself that I saw in Drew last year as a second year cathedral priest. Regular stuff like confidence in preaching, knowing how to deal with things outside, giving stuff to the associates you don't want to do. But I thought it came to a new low tonight. I got back from hanging out and I had a strong desire for nachos in quotation marks, aka tortilla chips with cheese microwave melted on top. What have I become? Interesting.
But what are you saying? Like, I that was like a confession I was making. It's not like I was like,
this was not a
proud
brag.
Of this.
This was a group text. Yeah. We have gone off the rails. I love it.
I'm just saying if this spreads, like I'd be fine as nacho bar as a meal. I can get behind that. I think this is going to be great. I'm sad that I won't be there for dinner tonight. But if I start seeing guys making Doritos with melted cheese on top and calling it dinner, I'm going to be a little concerned. I feel like you'd be pulling people down and towards Drew's form of food.
I'm glad that it's still associated with him. That's good.
A lot of people comment on that in the public about their concerns for Drew's health.
Creepers. That's true.
also here at the house, one of your duties is you kind of help with the IT part of the house. Or at least you're the first person I call when I have an issue with my printer.
I attempt, yes.
So we talked about this in a previous episode, but got any opinions on ChatGPT?
Oh, well,
I feel like you would be a person that would have an opinion on that.
Sure. I have kind of a little bit of an IT background, and I work at a university, and so there's a lot of talk about students using it for papers and cheating and things like that. So, I mean, I've had fun with it at this point. There was one day where the students were coming in and I was just telling it, like, write a song about this student. And then, like, here's a characteristic. And then I got to sing the songs and they were all ridiculous and goofy. So, I mean, it's fun in that way. It's fun as a research tool, even though I found it to be have errors too often, I think. You ask it, like, when did Pope Pius XII talk about this and where? And it'll say, like, he talked about this in this encyclical at this day. And, like, that's cool. And then you go and you check the quote and it's wrong. But
hear that, seminarians and other college students. It is not dependable.
Right. There's multiple times where I've caught it being wrong. But I do think this is one of those things where it doesn't really matter what we think about it. Like, it's here and it's happened. And some people are talking about, is it like another iPhone moment where now we've just entered a new era of things? And it seems that way because now everybody's finding ways to incorporate it into their businesses and into just apps and things. So it's here to stay. We just got to, it's my take, and we just got to find ways to use it, make it useful, and hopefully doesn't ruin our lives more.
I don't disagree with it. Doesn't mean I like it.
People have said my preaching has got way better. Give me Good Shepherd Sunday homily.
I think that's going to be a reality for a number of people. I'm just saying. I don't think that's a good reality, but I think it's going to be a reality.
I've already heard it from a priest that he uses it to draft some emails like that get blasted out, which I don't condone, but it's happening.
It's happening. Like you said, it's here.
Can't stop it. Now, even though you guys were ordained same year, all three of you then were at different theologates, right? Mm-hmm. At the time. So,
correct, yeah.
Because you were at
The Mount.
You were at Kenrick Drew, and Garrett was at Mundelein. So at that time, was there much interaction? I mean, so we had three theologates going at that time. So did you guys interact much or not because of that?
We didn't interact a ton. Like, I became friends with with the Mount guys through summer stuff. And if we didn't have a summer stuff, and Adam and I never really did. It's there wasn't, besides Friday Formation, a ton of those crossover opportunities. And so, yeah, there wasn't a ton of otherwise stuff. And we went to school a long, long way away.
Yeah, I was in Maryland.
Yeah, and that stuff helped. Retreats and every once in a while, if you were both the Lord's Diner together or something like that. But if you didn't kind of click on one of those things, you just weren't able to spend as much time together. So
that's the beauty of Friday Formations, right? Getting the guys together throughout the summer, is we do get to see each other and get to know the guys who are our brothers, and we'll be brother priests, but we don't see each other regularly.
When that first started, because I was kind of on the first wave when that was becoming more mandatory, it was kind of a forced thing, like, you've got to be here. Now the young guys are, like, really excited. I mean, they look forward, the guys that are coming into seminary, because they know it's a chance to meet the other guys and get to be around the older guys. And it's a great thing. It's a self-perpetuating thing at this point. But in the beginning, there was kind of a requirement to do it. I mean, it's still required, right, but it's less forceful than it was when it began.
I think that's a good lesson I carry into priesthood of, like, I think it ebbed and flowed for me. Maybe some Fridays at the end of Camp Toast to Us, I was not dying to go. Yeah.
That was rough.
But
I
there
feel
was
bad
other times,
for those guys.
Yeah, where I spent a whole week and I hadn't seen a brother seminarian, so it was awesome. And so just same thing in priesthood. Sometimes you're going to hang out with somebody as much for them as for you, or you don't know where they're at. And so you just got to be intentional about it, and you make it a rhythm, and then that's where it really bears fruit, so.
Now, Drew and Adam, did you guys serve a summer at Lord's Diner together?
We did, but you weren't full-time,
were
you?
I was part-time.
Yeah.
How was that? What else were you doing?
I was in the Office of Vocations.
Oh.
Yeah.
Father Mike and Linda.
So at most of our time, even at that diner together, he was only half-time, and that half-time was mostly the evening where we'd split up.
Yep.
And so, like, I'd be on a truck and he'd be at the diner, or you'd be on Hillside and I'd be on Broadway or something like that. So we didn't actually spend that much time, even though we were both working at the diner. I think Kyle was Dugan was the full-time seminarian with me.
Because there's a great picture of the three of you from the advanced that I've seen in the vocations
archive. Right.
Three of you outside a truck.
You're welcome for our service.
I'm just going to, no offense, of the three of you, Kyle has aged the least from that photo.
Wow.
Kyle looks the most the same.
I don't understand why you just say that.
I'm just saying. Guys will look at that picture like, that's Father Drew or that's Father Adam. Father Kyle was working at the Lord's Diner as a priest because he looks the same.
I've got a picture of him from Newman I'll have to show you.
Oh, yeah.
It's all the guys who went to seminary from Newman that one year before I went.
I do want to see that.
They look real young. Because they're all freshmen in college.
That's something we should have at the house. We should have like some of the old vocations posters framed and just like in like,
that
like
would
the
be
classroom
cool.
Or a wall. That'd be a good way.
Like, just, yeah. Like a fraternity has a composite and you guys kind of have those from people who've graduated here, but all of the seminary posters. That would be a really cool project to have them all framed in a wall on a hallway.
That would be kind of a cool
thing.
Though
I'm pretty sure my picture for all 6 years I was in seminary is the same picture.
That's yeah. true.
It doesn't change.
Because you didn't change outfits because you're pre-theo.
Right.
Well, and that's a product of your guys' era, because the vocation director of your time, Father Simone, was more economically minded, and so we weren't going to spend more money to get a new picture, and you weren't allowed to change facial hair because you had to be clean-shaven initially with Bishop Jacobs, so there wasn't much change there. When I started, we took pictures every year, and part of the time we had to do new pictures because we always did individual pictures after day at the lake, so half the guys would be just sunburned, like terribly red. It was the worst planning for when to take a picture, but our pictures changed every year.
Well, but then you're going to ordination, and your photo's everywhere in the lead up to ordination. It's in the advance, it's in the booklets, it's in all these things, but my ordination picture is from 22 years old. Yeah. It was rather silly. Like, I don't look like that at all anymore, and so this is a better plan. Yeah.
Yeah, I was the same way, because I remember we took that picture. It took my theology picture that would be on there for 4 years and ordination, everything. And that night, Bishop Kimmy said, we were changing the rule, you can't have facial hair now. So, like, I've had facial hair since that day.
Oh, that's funny.
But my picture at ordination was just clean shaven, so.
We give the guys the option now. They can do a new picture if they want. They don't have to, they can. So a lot of guys, if they change the look and they go to facial hair or they lose the facial hair, they'll do a new picture. Obviously, when they move to theology, they get the collars, so they do new pictures. A lot of the guys never liked their first picture because, when you're a freshman in college or sophomore in college, no one looks great at that point in their life, I'm just going to say.
Oh, that's true.
Compared to, hopefully, and later in life. Maybe I'm just speaking from personal experience.
You had long hair.
Which lasted, for some reason, I had to miss the pictures a couple years in a row, so my picture of long hair lasted 2 years longer than my actual long hair did, much to Bishop Jekyll's aggravation. It wasn't planned, it just kind of happened. Well, last time you were on the podcast, Adam, we were just kind of live at the Midwest Catholic Family Conference. We didn't really have a chance to dig into your vocation story, so we were hoping you would share that with us today.
Sure. Yeah, I was reflecting back. I mean, I grew up Catholic, and I grew up in a great Catholic family, and had a lot of influences around me that were good, kind of ordered toward the priesthood. Maybe I didn't realize it. My great uncle is a priest of the Diocese of Wichita, Father Victor Beebele. So he served at a number of parishes in our diocese. He also served in the military as a military chaplain.
Has a unique distinction as military chaplain, I believe. He was the first paratrooping Catholic priest chaplain, I think.
Okay, was he first? That's possible. I know he did 101 jumps with the 101st Airborne.
Whoa,
and then he went to the 89th and did more. So
I've heard that he was the first chaplain when they were allowed to do that, because part of that was being on the front line area. And so he had to get permission for that. And so he was the first Catholic chaplain to be doing that.
Yeah. And he was a stud. He would always try to be the first one off the plane to lead the men, like the first one to jump. Because he was also older than the guys, young guys entering. But
when would he have passed away?
Oh, I should know that. Like 2015.
That sounds right. I know I was ordained at the time when I never got to personally know him, but I was a priest at the time that he passed away.
So he was ordained about 2 days after Father Capon would have died. So he always saw himself kind of taking Father Capon's place. As Father Capon died, he was ordained. He would join, military chaplaincy later.
So he was with Ivan. Did he get ordained? Because Ivan, I think, was ordained 3 days before Capon died.
Then, probably. Yep.
Wow.
Because for a while there, they were ordained them in individual parishes.
Maybe that's it. So they wouldn't have been necessarily the same day. Okay. Interesting. But
they might have been the same year. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That's cool, though.
I had his influence growing up. And my mom says I was thinking about the priesthood younger, as a young kid. I don't recall that. But I was involved in the Knights of the Morning Star, which is kind of the east side version of Knights of the Holy Queen. And one of the first guys in that. But I really enjoyed my experience with that. Got to know the priest, got to know these good guys. We're praying together and going to mass together, having a good time. So those things were going on, but I really didn't think about priesthood that I'm aware of until I got to college. And I was kind of maybe your average guy going into college, not super excited about my faith, kind of wondering, if it really is that important. But I had a couple, looking back, there's a lot of things, like ways I can see that God was putting things in place to keep me in the faith, but also guide me. So my sister was a senior at Newman. I went to Newman University. My sister was a senior, so you know, you got to go, still go to Mass because she'll know and she'll tell mom and dad. But then my roommate was this guy that I knew from Capen, and he is pretty solid in his faith. And so he got me into serving for the Sunday night Mass. And so kind of kept me in my faith and got to know Father Tetra, who's the chaplain at Newman at the time. He's a great priest. And so my roommate was J.D. Betson. And at one point, J.D. was talking to Father Tetra, and he said, "You and Adam need to be better friends. Like, you guys got to be good friends." Which, you know, but J.D. came to me, and he's like, "Father Tetra said we should be better friends." So like, okay. So we, as weird as that sounds, we'd be like, okay, let's try to be better friends. Like, actually get to know one another and talk about bigger things. And so at the time, our freshman year, J.D. was beginning to discern the priesthood. And yeah, so I kind of got to see him grappling with the big questions of the meaning of his life and what God wants him to do and learning how to pray. And so we would go on walks and we'd like get done with our homework at 11 or 12 and go just like do laps around campus, like talking about life and these things, which is really cool for me, but also kind of deepened our friendship. And I got to see him go through that process of discerning.
It's kind of like a Gregory and
Scholastica. No,
no. Gregory
and Basil.
And Basil. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it gets a little better, maybe, if you know kind of the history of what went on those years at Newman. So yeah, things are good. I'm studying IT, which is fun. I always thought it was like digital Legos. You can kind of build whatever you want.
That's a great way to put it.
It's good times. But I got an internship through my Taekwondo instructor's wife. She's like
what
a VP.
What a sentence.
I know.
Let's delve into that just a little.
No, I think we got to keep going.
Rex Kwando.
Rex Kwando.
We could have a whole nother class here at the house. I had no idea.
Let's do it. I'll toughen them up.
We're not passing this. Tell us a little bit about your Taekwondo.
I did Taekwondo.
Just tell me a little bit about it.
Well, it's a martial art. I am a third degree black belt now. I did it with my dad and my sister, and my dad's a junior master now, but yeah.
If this were a visual medium, I would strongly encourage you to fight Drew right now. But
that would be incredible.
Sadly, it is not a visual medium for Drew's.
That's true.
For Drew's sake, this is good. But she got me an internship at Via Christi St. Francis Hospital in their IT department. So that was really cool. Got to work with computers and software on a big scale and lots of things going on. So I was doing that, and we're going into our, maybe I'm a little ahead of myself, but we're going into our second year, our sophomore year at Newman, and we had a group of guys and we wanted to get into the nicer dorms. So, you know, but we find out that it's full and we can't get into the nicer dorms, except the top floor is this Catholic living community. And if you want to live in those dorms, like, well, there is an opening for five guys in this dorm. And so we talked about it. I didn't want to do it because I legitimately, those people who bring up Jesus in a normal conversation, like, I actually called them Jesus freaks. Like, that's weird. Why do you do that? Like, that's only what weird people do. And so I knew that I'd be going living with those people, and I did not want to. But of course, JD was in the group, and he's like, no, this will be good. Like, let's go do it. So we did. We joined this Catholic living community called Metanoia, and that was a really big deal for me because I met a lot of new people. Freshman year, I was just kind of, you know, there's a lot of people who maybe don't pursue virtue in college. And so I was surrounded by a number of people like that and so on. But I joined this Catholic community with JD and we were praying together every night. We're supposed to kind of do a half hour, 30 minutes of adoration a week and go on some retreats together. But these people are just genuinely good people. So I met people that were really cared about me and were pursuing virtue and growing in their prayer lives and really great people who are still my friends. And yeah, so like praying more. And JD is now really seriously thinking about becoming a priest. And then for Lent, Father Tetro invites people on campus to come and join him for morning prayer in the chapel. So we were going to pray morning prayer, then get breakfast, and then go to our 8 o'clock classes. And so, you know, a few of us were like, okay, we can do this. We can go pray morning prayer. And one of those guys was Ed Herzog. You know, I'd get there at 7:15 or whenever we were doing it. And Father Tetro's there and then Ed's there. And then, you know, one day I kind of get there a little bit early because Ed is always there and Father Tetra is always there. And I get there 5 minutes early and, well, Ed and Father Tetra were there. And I get there like early, like 15 minutes early. Ed is there and Father Tetra is there. It's like, Ed, what's going on? Like, what's going on? Ed's like, well, I realized that Father Tetra was coming early. So I came like 20 minutes early and he was there. And I came like 30 minutes early and he was there. And I asked Father Tetra, what are you doing? He's like, I'm playing a holy hour before morning prayer. And so Ed started doing that. And then I wasn't doing the full hour, but I was starting to come early, and then other guys were like Andrew LeBenz and Kyle Dugan and a number of other people. We're all praying together. And yeah, there's a good number of people, but we're all praying together in the morning. And then Father Tetra started a men's group, and I was praying my 30-minute adoration. So all these, there's a lot of things going on. I was dating a gal, and like we were really good friends. But I notice like a lot of things, a lot of great things are going on in my life, and something's really off. Like I'm not happy. Kind of, I've got this great internship, but I'm seeing these guys who I'm working with who are, you know, they live to get home, put their kids to bed, and get on their video games. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want to become that guy. I don't want to be that guy. And I'm in a dating relationship, and like we're having a lot of fun, like we're good friends, but something's not right. Like I don't know, something's off, and I can't figure out what that is. And so I'm in my 30 minutes of adoration. I'm just like letting loose on the Lord a lot of days. Like, why am I not happy? What's going on? Because I'm doing all these things, and I'm praying, like I'm trying to be better. And one day I had a great moment where it's like venting to the Lord, and just real grace. Like I knew that the Lord heard me. And that was one of those first times like prayer became really real to me, because I kind of let it all out. Not like I heard any words, but God, it's like just this grace of, I have been heard. He knows and he cares. Mm. So that was big. So you know, all these pieces are kind of coming together. And then, so after our sophomore year, JD goes to the seminary, Andrew LeBenz goes to the seminary, and Kyle Dugan goes to the seminary. And Ed and I are still there. But the next year, like Ed is seriously thinking about seminary. I get dumped by my girlfriend, and yeah, me going to the seminary, like I really looked up to Father Chaitra, and I recognized that like, he has a much more meaningful life maybe than some of the guys I worked with. And so I had been, that's a really cool thing he does. And speaking about all these guys, listening to all these guys going to the seminary. So I was thinking about it, but I really think I went to seminary more on a rebound. But like,
wow.
Yeah. I'll admit that.
The Lord can work with that too.
Yeah. Right. And exactly. So, and I was kind of, you know, inspired by all these guys who went, but it was like she very shortly. So I, she broke up with me. I asked this other girl to like go on a date shortly thereafter who I liked. And then we went on one date and she's like, no. And then like a week later, I'm calling Father Mike, like, can we meet? Can I go to seminary? And so.
Holy Mother Church is nobody's rebound.
Oh my
How dare
God.
You?
Discernment is a process.
That's so funny.
So it's my junior year and I decide that I'm going to graduate early and go to seminary, but my parents didn't know this. So I like February sat them, you know, invited myself over to their house for dinner. And it's like, so mom and dad, I'm going to graduate early. And they're shocked. And they think, mom tells me later, she thinks I'm going to like go to Oklahoma to follow this gal that broke up with me. But it's like, no, and I'm going to go to seminary. So big bomb dropped on them, but
no kidding. That's a surprise ending for them. This is your junior year and you're yep. saying, oh, by the way, I'm going to graduate in May. And then I'm going to seminary.
Yep.
How did you just graduate early?
I was pursuing 2 degrees and a minor. And so you can just like, oh, I was doing enough credits that I found a way to just get 1 degree and get out. So, which like is weird. Why would you get out of college a year early? I don't know.
That's but, amen.
But I did. Yeah. I look back and it's like
some people spend their lives in college. Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Kids talk to me about graduating early all the time. Always tell them no.
Yeah. No. Nah. But then I went to seminary. I was sent to the Mount for pre-theology because I had a college degree and I really loved it my first year, especially a really strong group of guys. I went with Ed. We both went to the Mount and our class of guys was just so much fun. So that was really good. I really enjoyed studying philosophy, learning how to pray. Spent a lot of time my first year just figuring out what a holy hour is and how to pray that well. And yeah, had some more moments in prayer of like you know, really learning that there's something really powerful in prayer. And this is a good thing to in a way devote your life to. I remember one holy hour we're there and I'm looking at the monstrance. It's like late in the evening or maybe we were on a retreat. And I was brand new seminarian and I'm like staring at the monstrance going, Jesus, I know you're a guy, but some way I'm gonna fall in love with you. We're gonna figure this out. So that's kind of weird. But I really learned to pray, really loved spending time with the Lord and yeah, kind of just discerning. And so, I mean, things were pretty good. Generally, my vocation story gets pretty boring because it's kind of just doing the work of formation to discern what my calling is. And that's just a lot of prayer and a lot of setting goals and working the goals and learning things and talking to priests and things like that. I know my first theology year, which would have been my third year, I was really struggling. I did not want to be there, except it was really back and forth. I was like yo-yoing. I want to leave and I want to stay and I want to leave and I want to stay. I remember like laying in bed at night going, I wonder what I'm going to feel when I wake up in the morning. Yeah. Am I going to want to stay or am I going to leave? It's so awful. But some of those days are really bad days. I would just go into the chapel and just sit there for hours and just be with the Lord and kind of vent and let it go. And at the end of that, every time it's like, okay, I don't like it here, but I can't leave. Like there's something good about me being here pursuing the priesthood. I can't leave, even though, yeah, I'm frustrated and can't let go of these dreams that I have for my life yet. I have to be here. And that was really what helped me through, I think. But then I think, yeah, the Lord removed some of those things and works through some of those things and really felt this is where I'm meant to be. And God ordained in 2017, and it's been glorious since. It's been a wild ride. You cannot imagine what the Lord will do when you say yes, and it's been great things. So there's a shout at my vocation awesome. Story.
I didn't know, I knew a little bit about the Newman backstory, but I didn't know all of that. And it just kind of goes back to what we've talked about before, just the importance of friendship. I mean, I just assumed you and JD had been like close buddies.
Yeah, I was
from
in
high school days.
No, we just decided to be roommates because we didn't want to go potluck.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew each other, but we weren't besties. Huh,
yes, that's a surprise to me.
But I love that. It's because sometimes I'll tell that to people graduating or something. Just friendship's so important. Make sure you surround yourself with. And I get a sense from them. Sometimes they feel, I don't know, like that's going to be too hard. Or like, how do I just make a friend with, how do I just become a friend? And it sounds like it's just like, well, Father told us we should just
work
be friends. So like,
on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You just, you spend the time and you, yeah.
Yeah. And it really is weird looking back, but we'd spend a lot of time just like watching movies and playing Mario Kart or whatnot. It's like, no, we should get to know one another and talk about serious things. And it worked. I don't know what Father Tetra thought was going to happen when he gave that advice. Probably just like throwaway advice, and we took it very seriously. But actually, there were six of us that entered the seminary from Newman within 2 years, and five of us got ordained. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's really great. You'll never believe this. My college roommate joined the seminary too.
No way.
it's a story for another time.
Who joined first?
Pretty cool. That's true.
I never told you this. So Father Pat York told me one day, just go be friends with Drew.
He doesn't have anyone. It's pretty good.
None of my four college roommates joined seminary.
Oh, that's funny.
So,
you were basically the pastor of Blessed Sacrament for a time.
Yeah. So
that's one of the wildest deals that I remember of your priesthood thus far.
I guess.
Wait, how did that?
Because Father Yurok went on sabbatical when you guys got there.
Oh, right. So yeah. Father Burkamp and I, Father Burkamp being another 2017 ordination, we were both assigned to Blessed Sacrament as a newbie priest. And yeah, Father Yurok was there for like 3 months and then went on a 3 month sabbatical. I mean, really, we all know the people of the diocese are awesome and they carried all their weight, but we had a lot of fun. I consider it, I don't know if you guys know Father Burkamp, of course, but we would go into some situations and it was very obvious. Like I was kind of the good cop and he was kind of the bad cop. Yeah. And it totally worked. Like we had a system of just like, all right, you're addressing this and I'm addressing this.
In fact, I would like to see that scenario, but I want you guys to reverse roles and just see how that plays out.
That's a good team. That is a really good team. I'm sure that was a good experience.
It was great. It was a lot of fun.
Well, thanks for being on today, for giving your time, for taking you away from making nachos so you can come and share your vocation story. And thanks for listening to About 4 O'Clock. If you have questions you'd like us to address, you can email us at wichitavocations@gmail.com. You can also visit us at our website, about4.org. And Adam's got the final word today.
A word from St. John Henry Newman. Fear not that thy life shall come to an end, but rather fear that it shall never have a beginning.
See you next week.